is the end of Moses' life. And Moses looks across the River Jordan. He knows that because of his striking the rock twice, he himself will not be able to go across the Jordan. He is getting ready to hand over the Jewish people to Joshua. And it says at the end of his canticle, and he spoke these words before the Jewish people, before the whole of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun. He sang a canticle in the presence of his people. He stood up and he sang a very long canticle. It was his last words, his last sermon that he would speak to his people. He had been with them for 40 years, traveling through the desert. And there was one time in those 40 years when God came down to Moses and said, "Moses, this indeed is a stiff-necked people. I am going to slay them and put them to death. And I will raise up a new people to you." And Moses said to God, "Lord, if you do this thing, the other gods will mock. They will say that he had chosen a people and then he slew his own people. And though they are stiff-necked, please forgive them. Do not kill this people." And God was pleased by the prayer of Moses. And because of the prayer of Moses asking for mercy, he did not slay the Jewish people. It is also said of Moses that those who knew him noted him for his meekness. Moses the meek. No one was afraid to approach him, even though he had seen God. And his face was radiant so that no one could look upon his face directly. The gentle Moses, the kind Moses, the Moses that asked forgiveness. What would be his last words to his people? It would be a contemplation of hell. And at the end of his contemplation of hell, he says to his people, "Listen to these words, my brothers. If you hearken to my words, you shall be blessed. But if not, these evils of which I spoke shall come upon you." The last sermon that Moses would speak was a sermon on hell. That was his last song to his people before they crossed the Jordan and he remained behind. And in the gospel today, St. Alphonsus says, "Dear brothers, recognize that in the parable today there was a master, and the servant owed him 10,000 talents. And he handed him over to the torturers until the debt was paid. This is a parable. It is not reality. The reality is that the master is God. And we do not owe him 10,000 talents. We owe him eternity. We owe him infinity. And he will not hand us over to the torturers until the debt is paid. He will hand us over to the torturers for eternity. And there will never be a ceasing in the torture. The debt shall never be paid." And so a consideration with St. Alphonsus Liguori on especially the eternity of hell. What has this word done to souls down the years, says St. Alphonsus? This one word, eternity. It has caused kings to leave their kingdoms. It has caused the rich to leave their wealth. It has caused sinners to leave their sin. Just this one word. And to go and to spend the remainder of their days doing penance and preparing for the awful day of eternity. Eternity is a terrifying thought. And it is a reality. We live for a short time on this earth. And it passes away as the shadow. And at the end of this short time, we enter into eternity to be judged by God. There was the kingdom of heaven is like unto a master that wished to make an account of his stewards. God is that master. Do you not think that he wishes to make an accounting? And he will make an accounting. At whatever moment we pass into eternity, he will make an accounting. And for the majority, he was not well pleased. Moses must have had in mind, as he was looking down at the Jewish people, the whole of the 40 years that he had traveled with them through the desert. There were 600,000 Jews, and they only counted the men in those days. So at least 2 million. That had come out of Egypt. Out of those 600,000, 2 entered into the promised land. And Moses was looking down upon them. Where are all those people that I came out of Egypt with? Joshua the son of Nun, and the other faithful of the 12 spies, entered into the Holy Land. Everyone else remained behind. And so Moses spoke of hell. We are here for a short time in order to prepare for eternity. But we do not think of it. There was a monk, says St. Alphonsus, back in the Middle Ages, who simply thought about eternity. He went and he lived into a cave and was a hermit. And people would come and visit him. And he would say, "Oh, eternity, eternity. How terrified I am of it. Where will my soul be when it meets eternity? Shall I be the friend of God or his enemy?" And St. Andrew Avellano, a few days before his death, a few days before the death of a saint. St. Andrew Avellano, a few days before his death, his friends came around and he said to him, "Where do you think shall I be? Shall I be saved or damned? I don't know. I fear eternity. I fear to go to meet my master." Now, what is this eternity? There was a woman who went to confession to St. Antonine. And she was a very worldly woman. She gave her confession, perhaps barely a little bit of sorrow. And at the end of the confession, St. Antonine said to her, "For your penance, I want you to go out into the church and kneel down and I want you to meditate on 2 words, always, never. That's your penance. Go out and think about these words, always, never." She rose from her side of the confessional, and she went out, and she knelt down. Always, never. She went out of the church. She sold all that she had. She went into a convent and did penance the remainder of her days. always, never. Do we really know what it means, says St. Alphonsus? We are trapped in this space of time, and we do not understand what the word always really means. How long shall you be damned? Always. Shall you ever receive any hope? Never. How long shall you be tortured? Always. Shall there be even the smallest relief? Never. How long will you remember your sins? Always. Will you ever get used to them? Never. Will you ever forget your mistakes? Never. Will you ever get used to your sorrow? Never. You shall always be damned. How long is eternity? And St. Alphonsus says, what would a soul do, a soul in hell, if God came down to a soul in hell and he said, you shall remain burning in this unquenchable fire on as long, as many years as there are drops of water in the ocean, and as many years as there are dots of sand on the seashore? What would the soul in hell do? St. Alphonsus says, the soul would jump for joy, for there would be an ending. After the millions and millions and millions and millions of years, it would come to an end. And the soul in hell would be likened to a man, says St. Alphonsus, who was on his way to the gallows. And as he was on his way to the gallows, the judge came and said, you have a reprieve, you are released. Such would be the joy of the damned if they were only in hell for millions and millions and millions and millions of years. But it is not so. They shall suffer for the millions and millions of years, says St. Alphonsus. And when they have arrived at the end of the millions, they will realize that they are at the beginning. And they will suffer another million. And when they have arrived at the end of it, they will realize that they are at the beginning. There will never be a middle. There will never be an end. Imagine, says St. Alphonsus, that you laid upon a soft and comfortable bed, and you are not able to move. It would become hell after a few days. Imagine if you listened to your favorite song and your favorite music, says St. Alphonsus, but the music was played over and over and over and over again. It would become hell. And lastly, he says, imagine you went to a comedy. Your favorite comedy. And it was replayed over and over again. It would become hell. But this is not what you shall receive. If we enter into eternal damnation, it shall be the height and intensity of suffering, as much as we are able to bear and a little more, and it shall never cease. There is no movement or change in hell, no diminishing, no forgetfulness of our actions, only infinity of suffering. David could not sleep at nights. We read in the Psalms and in the Book of Kings. When we look at the life of David, he says in one of his Psalms, with my eyes I cannot sleep, for I look back into the past and I see my youth, and I look to the future and I see eternity. And in my youth there are sins In eternity, there is judgment. Many souls say, says St. Alphonsus, if I go to hell, I'll just have to be patient. I'll just have to bear it out. And yet you cannot be patient for a moment in this life. Shall you be patient in eternity? You shall be mocked by God. His vengeance will be upon you. As it says in the book of Ecclesiasticus, if I draw out my sword and take out my vengeance, it shall not be turned back. It shall not be sheathed. And at this moment, says St. Alphonsus, God has his hand upon the sword. And in an instant, he takes it out, and we are cut down. As it says also in Ecclesiasticus chapter 12, that we are like trees that are cut down. And the tree shall fall to the south, or it shall fall to the north. And where it falls, there it shall lie. Only once do we enter into eternity. Who shall move it? If it falls to the south, says St. Alphonsus in his commentary on this passage, it falls to salvation. There it shall lie. If it falls to the north and the things of this world, it falls to damnation. And St. Alphonsus goes on and he says, but what determines where the tree is fall? When you cut a tree down, in which direction does it fall? It falls, says St. Alphonsus, in the direction in which it is inclined. It falls where it's leaning. Our souls stand right now, but they are leaning. And St. Alphonsus says, our souls lean either to the things of God, which weigh heavily upon our branches, or they fall to the things, lean to the things of this world, which weigh heavily upon our branches. No, we think the world is not that bad. We are inclined to it. And if we are cut down, we are damned. You will fall where your branches are inclined. And so the question of St. Alphonsus in his sermon today, where is my soul inclined? Where does it lean? Not whether or not am I really in the state of mortal sin, we don't really know. God only knows. But where does my soul lean? Does it lean toward the things of God, or does it lean toward the things of this earth? If it leans toward the things of this earth, then I rightly fear the judgment. Remember St. Gregory the Great. Before he was elected pope in the year 590, remember his vision of the five-year-old boy. The five-year-old boy who mocked God. The five-year-old boy that died in an accident and went straight to hell. He has been there for 1,400 years. There shall be no ending to his pain. The five-year-old boy committed only one mortal sin. He shall never be forgiven. He shall always be damned. Do you not know what these words mean? Think upon eternity and sin becomes impossible. Later on in his sermon, he says, when the souls of the Christians, the souls of the Catholics enter into hell, they shall be called two things by the remainder of the damned. They shall be called liars or fools. We shall be called liars if we called ourselves Catholics but did not believe the teachings of the Church about hell. Then we belong to the true religion. We claim to believe, but we lied. We did not believe. And so we shall be called liars when we arrive in hell. Or we shall be called fools. These are those who do believe the teachings of the church about hell, but they do not live according to that belief. And the souls in hell shall jeer at us. Listen to their words. They shall mock you and say, "You are a Catholic. You had everything. You had the sacraments. And you didn't even take advantage of them correctly. How many times did you sacrilegiously receive them? And now you are burning in hell. How could you believe in eternity and still sin? You fools." And we'll read here the Book of Wisdom, chapter 5. Here in the Book of Wisdom, here are the words of the damned as they speak in the kingdom of hell. "Then shall the just stand with great constancy against those that have afflicted them and taken away their labors. And these, the damned, seeing it, shall be troubled with a terrible fear and shall be amazed at the suddenness of their unexpected salvation," the unexpected salvation of the just, "saying within themselves, repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit. The damned shall repent and shall groan. They shall have anguish in their spirit." St. Bernard says, "It is good for us to visit hell in our prayers. It is good for us to visit hell in our spirit, lest we have to visit it with our whole being forever." And so from time to time we have to visit it in our prayers and meditations, lest we live with it forever. "And they shall mourn forever, groaning for anguish of spirit. These are they whom we had some time in derision and for a parable of reproach. We fools esteem their life madness and therein without honor. Behold how they are numbered among the children of God and their lot is among the saints. Therefore we have erred from the way of truth. And the light of justice hath not shined unto us. The sun of understanding hath not risen upon us." Notice how the damned are speaking the truth. There are no lies in hell. Lies can be spoken on this earth. But in eternity, it is made perfectly clear to us the totality of the truth. The damned cannot even deceive themselves, says St. Alphonsus. You think you can be comforted in hell by being able to deceive yourself with some false hope? It shall not be so. There is no deception in hell. And here the damned speak the truth. The Book of Wisdom, chapter 5. "We wearied ourselves in the way of iniquity and destruction. We have walked through hard ways, but the way of the Lord we have not known. What hath pride profited us? Or what advantage hath the boasting of riches brought us? All these things are passed away like a shadow." And then there is the many similes of the analogies of the life of the damned. What is the value of the life of the damned? Have we made our mark upon the earth? "Our life was like a ship that passeth through the waves, whereof when it is gone by, the trace cannot be found, nor the path of its keel in the waters. Our life is like a bird flieth when it flieth through the air, or of the passage of which no mark can be found, but only the sound of the wings beating the light air, and parting it by the force of her flight. She moved her wings, and she hath flown through, but there is no mark found afterwards of her way. Such is the life of man. We made a little noise. We flapped our wings. But look up into the air and see the path of the eagle," says also in the Book of Proverbs. Says in the Book of Proverbs, "Follow the path of the eagle. Go ahead. See if you can trace his path. It cannot be traced through the air. And the life of the damned is like unto an arrow which is shot at its mark. The divided air presently cometh together again, so that the passage thereof is not known, So we also, being born, forthwith ceased to be, and have been able to show no mark of virtue, but are consumed in our own wickedness. Such things as these the sinners said in hell. A book of wisdom quoting the damned in hell. Like unto an arrow that passes through the air, and the wind cometh together. We all think we want to leave our mark. By making noise, by living an impure life, by getting rich, by becoming popular, by seeking the things of this world, by getting notoriety in all the various ways which we strive for it in our world today, that we are going to leave our mark, but we will leave the same mark as the eagle leaves when it flies through the air. We shall be remembered no more. These things shall never end. Who will grant me this, that thou mayest protect me in hell, and hide me till thy wrath pass, and appoint me a time when thou wilt remember me? Shall man that is dead, thinkest thou, live again? All the days in which I am now in warfare, I expect until my change come. And so, we are going to never be able to live again. And who will be able to appoint the day when God will change His mind and remember us? Recognize the reality of hell and avoid it. In a few words from the Canticle of Moses, his last song, the Lord saw and He was moved to wrath because His own sons and daughters provoked Him. And He said, I will hide my face from them and will consider what their last end shall be, for it is a perverse generation and an unfaithful children. They have provoked me with that which was no God, and have angered me with their vanities, and I will provoke them, and with that which is no people, and will vex them with a foolish nation. A fire is kindled in my wrath, and shall burn even to the lowest hell, and shall devour the earth with her increase, and shall burn the foundation of the mountains. I will heap evils upon them, and I will spend my arrows amongst them. They shall be consumed with famine, and birds shall devour them with a most bitter bite. I will send the teeth of beasts upon them, and with the fury of creatures that trail upon the ground and of serpents. Without, the sword shall lay them waste, and terror within, both the young man and the virgin, the sucking child with the man in years. All shall experience this damnation. They'll have the sword without. This refers to the physical sufferings of the damned. They will have terror within, and this refers to the spiritual suffering of the damned. Pain of loss, the most serious pain that exists in the kingdom of hell. Complete awareness of the absence of God, who is the only one that can fill us. We are completely absent of Him. We cannot be filled. We have turned away from the ways of God. We have turned away from the way of justice. The light of the Son of Understanding hath not shone upon us. They will remorse. And God will laugh us to scorn. The innocent shall wash their feet in the blood of sinners. No one shall sorrow for the damned. St. Augustine says, if I found that my own father was in hell, I would not pray for him. I would not help him. I would not hope for him. I would spit upon his memory. Do not thou pray for this people, says also in the book of Deuteronomy and in the Psalms, for they cannot and they will not be helped. They shall not get another chance. They shall not be forgiven, and there shall be no ending to their suffering. All of our life passes away like a shadow, but eternity is forever. Always now. Let's meditate upon these things. We must remember, St. Bernard says, "Would that it was not necessary for me to enter eternity, but since it is, I fear it, and I pray God to be ready for that day." And we pray for the grace of final perseverance. And remember that as we live, so we die. You think you can repent tomorrow. You can repent the day before you die. How do you not know that that day was yesterday? We can turn back later to the things of God. We can get out of our bad marriage now. Later. We just wait for the first husband to die. Wait for the first wife to die. What if you die first? We're waiting for something else to happen. And let us suppose that the first husband does die. And now it's legal. Now you can get married. If you are not sorry for your sin, you're damned. The church does not put a band-aid on sin. We must be sorry for our sins. And sorrow demands change and actions. As St. Alphonsus says in his sermon today, it demands that the tree of our life change its inclination. If we are sorry for sin, then incline to the things of God and no longer incline to the things of this world. And if we are inclined, plan on being damned. 600,000 men left Egypt. 2 entered the promised land. Think of eternity. And remember also the vision of the monk, the young monk, 16, 17 years old, who lived in the Middle Ages. He prayed that he would be able to see the face of God as God looks upon the damned. And that night, his wish was granted. And the following morning, when he came into the divine office, he had gray hair, his face was wrinkled, he was withered and terrified, his whole being was drained, and he died of old age a few days later. He was so terrorized by the sight of the face of Christ when he looks upon the damned and says, "Depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire." Remember the judgment. Sacred Scripture tells us it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We need to prepare for that judgment. And we need to be aware of the fact that hell is real. And remember, as we mention often on the retreats, there is no requirement to believe in hell in order to go there. You can't wish it away. If hell was only a possibility, says St. Alphonsus, if eternity only might be true, then we would live a most careful life, just in case. But we know the truths of our faith that it is real and that we cannot escape it. With how much fear and trembling should we work out our salvation? Serve nequam, wicked servant. You shall be handed over to the torturers. Should you not have forgiven this little servant as I have forgiven you? We go to confession. We say our horrible sins before the priest and God. We come out and we do not forgive others. We have offended the Master. He has forgiven our debt. But we do not forgive the fellow slave. And we think the master doesn't know. We think that he will not be told. We think that he will not be angry. So shall it be to you, says our Lord in the gospel today, if you forgive not your brother from your heart. Imagine the anger of God. Someone accidentally steps upon our toe. We have him executed. We have murdered eternity. We have murdered the infinite God. We have spit upon all the gifts that God has given us. We have turned away every good thing that he has given to us. We have turned it all to evil, and we expect him to forgive us. And then we turn and do evil to our neighbor. We have no right, and God will not forget. There is no moment of our life that shall be forgotten. Not one instant. We enter eternity in the state of mortal sin. There is no excuse. There is no response. As Bishop Sheen says, it's the first reason for silence. Guilt. The man with the wedding garment I mentioned a few weeks ago. Where is your wedding garment? He was silent. He had no response. When we stand guilty before God, we will be silent. It is good to learn a little silence here, lest we be eternally silenced by God. Good to experience a little sorrow here, lest we have eternal sorrow in hell. Remember eternity. What does forever really mean? Always. Never. Will we always have our friends in this earth? Will we always have our house and our bank accounts? Will we always have our health? As it said at the end of the Book of Wisdom, we made no mark of virtue. And that's why they were damned. We make no mark of virtue. That's what it says in the Book of Wisdom, chapter 5. We are fools if we strive not after virtue. It is the only thing that we carry forever, our merits and our sins. We do not carry the fame of the world or any other thing. We carry our merits, we carry our sins. Sins mean damnation. Merits mean salvation. And so let's work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And remember that only the grace of God keeps us out of hell. And as St. Ignatius says, and is to tell the retreatants and the meditation on hell, thank God. Or how many times should I have already been cast into hell? But for some inexplicable reason, God in his infinite mercy has allowed me to still be alive. I will thank him that I have not entered into the class of the damned. And I will firmly resolve to never offend him again. Dear Lord, may I never offend you, because I love you. But if I should forget the love of Almighty God, may at least the fear of hell keep me from offending thee. And so, despite what the modern world says, hell is real and it awaits us. We need to change our inclination from the things of earth to the things of God. And then only can we be saved. And we'll close it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.